You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
It really puts perspective on things, doesn't it?
Not too much perspective now.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we're going to explore how to know when something isn't right for you. It could be a lifestyle, a product, a service, an image, a person even, an idea, or even a life change. You know, a lot of times we go through life and we deal with all these things. We have people that come up to us about great ideas, some not so great. We get sold a lot of bill of goods, you know, whether it's a lifestyle that we should present, whether it's clothing we should wear or a product that we have to use if we want to be beautiful or we want to be smart or we want to be intelligent. No matter what it is, a lot of times we have to be able to step up to the plate and realize when something isn't right for us. You know what I'm talking about, Bill. I mean, we've all been in the situation where someone's trying to sell us or have us buy into something, or it could even be a person, and we have to know when it's not right.
And usually, at least for me anyway, it's on those stupid commercials on TV.
Which one?
I cannot stand commercials.
All commercials?
I drive my girlfriend crazy because anytime we're watching a show, and as soon as it goes to commercial, I'm flipping to another channel.
You don't pause it? You just change it?
I just change it. Of course, I don't have a DVR, but...
we got to get you one of those.
I was going to say, yeah. But
that would help.
But yeah, I mean, you know, generally speaking, it's kind of like the used car salesman, which, by the way, no offense to all you used car salesmen out there, but because we love you too. You know, we want you to listen to our show, but you know what I mean? It's you know, the pushy
oversold.
Yeah. I mean, where it's like in your face, you know, and it's like, whoa, distance here. But, you know, you're invading my personal space.
When was the last time you felt like you were being, you know, sold? I mean, like, really?
The last...
Hardcore sales.
Okay. It was when I was actually about to buy or upgrade, rather, to the iPhone 5.
Okay.
This was earlier this year. And I was kind of, you know, shopping around for deals and options and stuff like that. So I went to a local AT&T store near me, and I could tell the type of service I was going to get before I even walked in the door, because I kid you not, Ashley, there were three salespeople right there on the inside of the door, like
waiting for you,
like buzzards. That's what I thought. There were buzzards like circling the kill. They looked right at me as I was walking through the store, and you know, they're like, you know, oh my God, is it going to come in? Have we got a customer here? They actually opened the door for me. Didn't even wait for me to get to the door. Opened the door for me, and then they're all three. Hi, can I help you? You know, what are you here for? You know, and it's like, whoa, folks. You know, I don't, when I go into a store, I don't like, which, you know, I understand. Okay, you know, hi, you know, hello, sir, can I help you?
Yeah, I like the positivity, yeah. the respect.
But what I don't like is, you know, I mean, can I help you? Are you looking for this? Can I show you this? Can I show you this? You know, you're looking
the pushy,
for this?
Where you want to just look at the product. You go, let me just look at the product real quick. Let me think what I want, you know,
so.
Instead of them telling you and handing you stuff and getting in your face.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You know, to me, it's almost like a car, too. Like, I remember years ago, I was looking at cars, and I just was like, I looked at the car and they said, well, this is the only one there is in town or whatever. I'm like, this is not the only one like this in town. And I was able to get up and leave, but I did feel like I was under fire. I mean, I felt like I was under siege. Like, I didn't know how to deal with it. And they were trying to sell me on the look of it and the message that it presents. And I'm like, I'm not interested in any of that. I'm not interested in any of that. And I realize, you know what? That isn't the message I want to present. And no, I don't want to drive that car. And, you know, it is funny how everything is kind of, people sell you a bill of goods nowadays, you know, whether it's the way you look. So think about this, Bill. Like, what if I was like, are you a metrosexual? You know, all these men now with the metrosexual, you know, oh, look at GQ and all the metrosexual stuff, you know?
Actually, I think you know me well enough to know the answer to that question.
By the way, people, Bill is not a metrosexual. Let me just put it out there real quick, you know?
Nothing wrong with metrosexuals or any other type of sexual. I'm just saying that I'm not, you know, metrosexual.
We have equal opportunity on this show, and yes, indeed. And yeah, it is, it's cool. I mean, but some people pride themselves on being a metrosexual. They actually even say, I'm a metrosexual. What about the rugged type? The tall, dark, rugged type. I'm rugged, you know? And they sell into that. Like, think about even cars. When they sell the car image of the rugged man that's the cowboy on the range, and he's on his ranch, and he's getting this, he's actually picking up some cow that's actually gotten out of the pasture, and he's like a little calf, right? And he takes the calf, and he puts it back in the truck, and he's the rugged man. How many men actually have that lifestyle that buy that truck?
It's like the Tim Allen grunting pig, you know, thing. You know, you know,
I am man.
This and I am manly. You know,
isn't it? But it's true because they're selling that to him. I mean, like the same people aren't going to buy a Volvo. Right. I mean, you don't see a rugged cowboy man getting into a Volvo. And you know, I have my issues with Volvos. I have my issue with Volvo drivers. All in all, I'm just going
to
say that
no
straight
offense,
up.
By the way, to Volvo or Volvo drivers, because you're our listeners and we love you too.
We love you too, but y'all drive awful.
We sure are offending a lot of people. it show's not even 5 minutes old yet.
We're only into the show right now. No, but it's true. It's like sometimes, especially with the stickers, you know, I hate to say it, but you know, you got these marathon runners and some of y'all are really great drivers. But for the most part, I mean, some of y'all just need to get out of the car and run to work because you don't drive that well. I mean, you know, you obviously can run 20-something miles. Why are you going to run to work? I don't see why not.
That's
another lifestyle. Think about that. The marathon runner.
Oh, my gosh.
Think about that lifestyle. Think about all the running magazines we have. I mean, half the people that get running magazines run maybe a mile a week.
Or the kissing cousin, the avid bicyclist.
Oh, the bicyclist, yes. And the clothing.
Right.
And some of these people might bike around the block, and they wear this clothing that looks like they're in the Tour de France. You know what I'm saying?
And spent all this money. You know, for the look.
Exactly.
And, you know, oh, look at me, you know, avid bicyclist. And yeah, you're right. You know, they bike at most, what, a few miles a week or something?
A few miles around the block, like going to a bar because they don't want to drive their car because they might get a DWI. No, really, seriously, think about that. I mean, I only know a few bikers that actually bike, you know, like 100-something miles a day. And I think that...
Or even per week.
Or even per week. That's a lot, too, you know. But think about all like Patagonia. Think about all the companies that sell to this adventure. You know, this is your adventure. Like you're out rock climbing every day and twice on Sunday. You're not at work, you know?
Well, a long time ago when I went back to college, Ashley, and I went into radio television, we took kind of a general, you know, introduction to mass communication class. And it's meant to be kind of a, you know, general info, you know, introduction type class. And we learned that, you know, advertising in companies and, you know, businesses do this on purpose. They purposely segment the market. So instead of selling to the general public that, you know, see, this is why you get you're always pushed to take all these surveys and provide your personal info and, you know, tracking cookies on your internet browser. They want to define, you know, your interests and, you know, your gender, your age group, whatever.
How much money you make per year.
Yeah, how much money, you know, that's a good one. Because they purposely try to subdivide in what they call segmentation, you know, segment the market. Because people have found that a relative handful of people will spend a lot of money on the things that interest them the most.
And the things that define them.
Right.
Or they think defines them. Like, you know, like we were talking about, you're right, metrosexual, rugged. What about, you know, the businessman look, the businessman, you know, and they're like Brooks Brothers amongst others I can think about that literally sell that particular look. You know, whether they're selling businessmen, English businessmen or U.S. businessmen or metrosexual / businessman. But it's like, so think about this. So if anybody's listening tonight that wants to tweet, go on and tweet at Ashley Burgess, you know, Ashley Burgess. And let's start talking about this. Have you been sold a bill of goods? Is there something that you're believing in that might not define you? I mean, are you buying a bunch of products from a company like Lululemon? I mean, recently in the news, you know, they were in the news a while back about how the CEO ended up stepping down, right? Because, you know, some people were saying that the clothing wasn't holding up, that it was peeling, that it was doing this, that it was doing that. And he said, well, yeah, it's meant to be for small people. It's not meant to be worn by overweight people. And he said that. He said, people are wearing it. You're way too big for the product. And that's crazy for a CEO of a company like that, knowing that it's not just a bunch of yoga people buying the product. It's people that want to use that, want to be that lifestyle. You know, half of those people that wear Lululemon aren't going to yoga. Half of those people are wearing that to go eat with their friends. I mean, half of them are wearing that to sit at their house and watch TV. Well, you know, it's a life. It's a lifestyle. It's an identity.
That, I was just about to say, you know, clothes are more than just, you know, garments. I mean, they are what define you, the image you want to project.
Yeah, and what is the identity that you're going for?
Yes.
And I think nowadays, you know, people all want to be unique and they all want to be different, but at the same time, they're buying into this stuff hook, line, and sinker based on whatever, based on, okay, well, I want to give this persona or I want to have this identity. Or, you know, and I think that sometimes we lose ourselves in that, because why do you have to buy into one persona? Why do you have to buy into these labels? And I think we allow society and we actually label ourselves.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, maybe we can get into this a little bit more in the next segment, but I think it's just human nature to, you know, subdivide ourselves and, you know, associate with like-minded people. And it's almost like a tribal type thing. You know what I mean?
Well, it's like when people come over and they say, where are you from? And, you know, people always say, well, I'm Italian or I'm this, I'm that. Well, no, well, you've lived in the United States for the last 50 years. I mean, I do agree that you might have some Italian heritage or whatever, but everybody wants to divide themselves up. I'm from here. I'm English. I'm German. I'm Greek. And that's great and all, but you're right. People do like to subdivide themselves. So stay tuned. When we return, we're going to talk more about how to know when something is not right for you based on products, services, and all these other things that are coming knocking on your door. Perspectives with Ashley Burgess will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we're contemplating how to know when something is not right for you. You know, a lot of times we get sold a bill of goods. We get sold services, products, images. You know, it's like we seem to buy into a certain image, buy into a certain identity, a certain label. You know, whether it's we're buying certain clothing because that's this particular look. For example, if it's Lululemon and you're going for that look, that yoga look, or you're going for Patagonia and that rugged, I go mountain biking and climbing every single day of my life. Whatever it is, a lot of times we try to buy into these identities, these labels. Even think about when people actually have like a car or even don't have a car, but they wear all the car products, like the Porsche hats. Or the, you know, or the shirts with the names on it, BMW and all this stuff. Like, they have all those products. Like, you go to a BMW dealership and you can even have, you know, a baby seat. You could have all kinds of products, watches, hats, shirts, luggage, all BMW. And that's like a total label.
And, you know, actually, think how ridiculous this is. I forget the technical term for it, but it's basically the company's done so well at convincing a small segment of the population to basically, you know, it's not even for free. You're paying the company to advertise its products. So you're basically a walking billboard, and you're paying them. They're not even paying you. You're paying them. And it's BMW, Apple.
Isn't that amazing?
Nike.
Isn't that amazing? Any type of clothing, like, that's why, that's a big thing. And anybody that knows me and met me in person realizes I don't wear labels. If a product has a label on it that you can see, I won't wear it because they're not paying me to wear it. Okay, I just will not wear a t-shirt that has a label on it. I will not wear a shirt that has a label on it. If there's a belt or anything that has like a tag on it, I will pull it off.
Right.
I will not be sold stuff that I have to buy that I'm turning around and being a billboard for them. Because whatever I'm wearing, people look at it and go, okay, I want to wear that, or I like that. Oh, okay, that's XYZ. I'm going to go buy it. And I don't feel like I have to do that. I feel like if you're going to make me wear your name across my chest, I should get some money for it.
And I agree with you with one major exception.
What is that?
Sports. You use the example of ethnicity or by the image you want to project.
Sports is a big label.
Sports is another category that we tend to subdivide ourselves, and it's gotten so ridiculous that especially the professional sports teams, but increasingly more also the college teams, they have 2, 3, 4, 5 different uniform types.
Oh yeah,
and people will spend. I mean, they'll drop some serious dough.
Oh yeah,
on this stuff. And,
well, I think that's funny that you bring that up because I've been an LSU fan. I've been a Louisiana State University fan since I was born. I was raised in it. It was purple and gold. That's what I got. All my clothes were purple and gold basically until I pleaded to have normal clothing. However, I look around now and half the world is wearing LSU and I'm like, where were you back when we were losing? Where right. were you back when we were bad? You know, when I was sitting in the bleachers with a poncho on and it's raining, because by the way, it does rain in Tiger Stadium, even though they say it doesn't. So there we are in ponchos. It's pouring down rain. My mom is yelling at my dad, wondering when we're going to leave. And so where were y'all years ago back when we were bad, you know? But you're right. They're all wearing the jerseys. Everybody's labeling themselves. And you're right. It's expensive. But again, it's dividing people up. Oh, no, I'm a Saints fan. Oh, no, I'm this and that. But what about when people try to sell you products that you don't need, which I think is funny because that's exactly what they're doing, but you're buying into it. What about when they're pushing you? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you were talking about the phone, right? I think something that recently happened to me, I was buying some mascara at we won't name the chain of stores.
Okay.
And I'm buying some mascara, and I'm going out on a limb because I'm trying a new mascara. And for women out there listening, you know what I'm saying. Going out, when you have a mascara that doesn't break you out, that doesn't, you know, make you itch your eyes, you kind of stick with it. But I was thinking, there's got to be something better out there. There's got to be something
better. Well, and also, for me anyway, I choose mascara that brings out the natural brownness of my eyes.
Oh, okay. So you go for a brown. Okay. Yeah, that's nice. Actually, your eyes look really nice now.
Thank you.
Very nice. I like it.
Thank you.
See, I was looking for something very good. So they had this product, and I was like, cool. And they said, oh, it's also got this stuff that's supposed to, you know, help grow your lashes in there. And I'm like, okay, great. And so while I'm about to check out, this woman comes back up and goes, oh, by the way, there's a bottle of rose water that we sell separately that you can put the rose water inside the mascara bottle like this. And it had like this little like sieve, you know, like the, what is it, the sieve, like the, like you put it on top of that and you can pour like, what is it, like, you can pour water into something that has a very small opening.
You're asking, the funnel.
Funnel. They have a little funnel with this bottle of rose water that goes with this mascara. And I'm thinking, I go, does it go with it? She goes, oh, no, that's separate.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, but
sold separately.
Right. And she goes, this will make it last for 4 months. So I go, every single scientific journal or any sort of, even in Glamour magazine, they tell you you're not supposed to use your mascara more than 2 months because you can cause eye problems. You can get all kinds of bacteria and so like
right.
that. Well, no. I was like, you can leave me out of the rose water concept. I mean, I couldn't believe they were trying to sell me rose water that goes into a small mascara bottle that I'm supposed to keep for 4 months. I mean, at first I was thinking, am I supposed to have that? And then I'm like, why am I even listening to this pitch? You know, why am I standing here listening to this? I think a lot of people, Americans across the country, even around the world, get stuck listening to a pitch for something that they have no absolute need for whatsoever.
You know, I'll tell you how ridiculous it's become on that front. You can't even go get fast food without them pushing something. And I won't name the chain like you, but, you know, the other night, okay, you know, it was late and I was hungry, didn't feel like cooking. So I'll just bop in for, you know, hamburger and fries. And
we're not going to talk about how bad that is for you.
Well, and we're not going to talk about how bad that is. And I realize
that. We won't go into nutrition tonight.
But,
not here.
But anyway.
But we will when we're off.
Right.
We're off
I was going to say, I'm about to get my wrist slapped here. Okay. So you drive up to the drive-thru, and before you've even opened your mouth, you know, over the loudspeaker, hi, welcome to such and such. Would you like to try a, double cheeseburger, you know, such and such? Order when you're ready. And it's a recording. It's not even a live person saying it. It's
okay,
a recording.
So that's definitely McDonald's.
No, it wasn't McDonald's.
Oh, really?
But
they're all doing it now.
Yeah, but they're all doing it. Pizza, too. You know, if you order pizza, ordered pizza with the girlfriend and, you know, in her family.
And they try to upcharge you
over the weekend. No, I mean, you know, you call them. Of course, you have to wait on hold for 30 minutes. But once you finally get through, you know, hi, you know, thanks for calling such and such. Would you like to, you know, order two large pizzas for $20?
Oh, yeah, they have this deal.
Before you even said anything.
They don't even know there's a live person on the line.
So, you know, that's how ridiculous it's gotten, Ashley. You can't even order food.
You're right. And they're constantly upcharging you on something. They're trying to upcharge you on something. Do you want this? Do you want that? You know, talking you into something. I think that's a big deal, too, is that when people are trying to talk you into something, they're telling you what you should do or what you shouldn't do. I think everybody listening tonight knows exactly what I'm talking about. You have friends and family, coworkers, people you don't really know that well, telling you what you should do and telling you what you shouldn't do, what's smart, what's stupid. You know, I know a lot of us that have great dreams and big dreams when we work really hard. You got people all the time telling you how hard it's going to be, how it's never going to happen. You know, you got also other people that, you know, you have a good concept and idea. They tell you about how bad it is. Or flip-flop, you got people, you can have the worst idea, like an idea that will really hurt you, an idea that you might lose your whole house from. You could lose everything you have if you actually do this, and you have people going, that sounds like a brilliant idea. I think you should invest all your money, you know, in this worm farm. And yes, that sounds brilliant. You know what I mean? Maybe I'll do it too. I mean,
invest in this stock or invest in this business.
Yeah, I agree with you.
All that good stuff. And of course, one that's near and dear to my heart because I used to work in the industry, the insurance salesman.
Oh, yeah.
Now, in my case, you can't say this about me because I worked in a call center. For most of my career, I did have an agency at one point, but I worked in the call center for most of my career in the insurance industry, and we didn't call them. We weren't telemarketing, so we sent out junk mail, so they would call us, so I felt okay about that because I mean they're the ones calling us. We're not, you know.
So you weren't actually out there saying, okay, so by the way, do you want to buy the optional death and dismemberment policy?
Now, we would, after the quote process had started, it's like, okay, you know, hi, my name is Bill. Can I help you? Yeah, I want a quote on auto insurance. Okay, so let me get your basic information, car, you know, where do you live?
Death and dismemberment policy.
Blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, now when I'm explaining the coverages, then I would say, hey, you know, do you want the death and dismemberment coverage for, you know, $10? No.
You never know what's going to happen.
You'd be
dismembered tomorrow.
I used to make it a corny joke, which worked sometimes and sometimes didn't. I said, you know, so, hey, guess what? You do have a price on your head.
Ooh, that's hilarious.
So, sometimes I get a laugh out of that. Sometimes I wouldn't. But
the people that didn't laugh, it was just too close to home.
Either that or they're just like, yeah, okay, you know, through gritted teeth. Yeah, I'm at work right now. Let's get this
over with. I have a bad feeling I'm going to be in an awful accident soon. I better get this covered.
Yeah. So.
Well, insurance is based on fear, you know? I mean, and a lot of things that
this is literally true. It's the only product that something bad has to happen for you to use it.
That's so true. It's insurance against something bad happening.
Yes.
And that's the key. There's a lot of things out there that's sold based on fear. There's a lot of things out there that's sold based on happiness, that this is going to provide you happiness. For example, there's a mattress company out there that's selling happiness now. They're selling a good quality sleep. They're not selling the mattress. They're selling sleep. I mean, any mattress that sells sleep has got to be darn good. You know what I mean? Oh, it's a mattress that sells sleep. This is great sleep. They're not saying this is a great mattress. They're saying, we're selling sleep. We want you to have a great night's sleep. And that sells a mattress right there. I mean, you're not thinking about anything else. So stay tuned. When we return, we're going to be talking more about these things that we get pushed into, about knowing when something's not right for you and the symptoms and what you should do to help yourself get out of situations you don't want to be in. So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 570 KLIF.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we're discussing how to know when something isn't right for you. You know, it could be a lifestyle, it could be a product, an image, it could be a label, it could be a person, it could be an idea, it could be a sufficient life change. You know, a lot of times we deal with people trying to talk us into something, selling us a bill of goods, you know, making us buy into their ideas or their products or their services, you know, talking you into something you don't need, talking you into a identity, a persona, a label. You know, right before break, we were discussing about that mattress company that's not selling mattresses. You know what? They're selling sleep. Okay, when people are selling certain products or clothing, they're not selling clothing, they're selling the lifestyle. And so let's talk about this because I think that this kind of takes it all together, like how to know when something isn't right for you. And I think when we're being bombarded every day by images, by commercials, by this, by that, by magazines, TV, radio, everything. You get bombarded by all these images and all these personas. You know, am I rugged? Am I metrosexual? Am I business? Am I this? Am I that? You start buying into it because you feel like you got to have some labels because everybody else has them. You know, I gotta make myself something. I gotta create something. And to a degree, society is about imaging. It's about what your image is.
Remember Andre Agassi? Image is everything. Back in the '80s,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, back when he had like his wild hair and he's kind of a wild child type phase.
Mm-hmm.
He did a series of commercials with Nike. You know, image is everything.
Oh, well, yeah, and a lot of people go by that.
Go YouTube it after the show tonight, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
I'll have to check that out. Image is everything. And you know what? A lot of times it is. I mean, we see things on the surface. We make judgment calls. We make assumptions. We make, okay, well, this person's got to be like this. You see them wearing certain shoes, certain clothes, especially for men in shoes. Men always check out other men's shoes. I don't know what the deal is. And then they make decisions based upon those shoes. Women look
at...
A lot of business people do.
Okay, oh, business. Okay, gotcha.
But, like, women look at women's purses, their clothing, it makeup, nail polish, certain things. And some of us don't care.
And just get catty?
Mm-hmm. Oh, did you see that? Or
gosh, what happened to the sisterhood?
Was there ever sisterhood?
Was there ever, it's like, wow, ladies, calm down.
I mean, it is funny how a lot of times you really have to find good people because, sometimes your friends can be your worst enemies, the people you think are the best people in your life, and that does happen sometimes. And a lot of times those are the people that you spend the most time with, the ones that you don't realize are actually trying to hold you back. They might not be actually consciously doing it, but sometimes they might subconsciously be holding you back. They don't want you to succeed. Or, they might just take you for granted. And a lot of times people do that. There's a whole stories go back to the beginning of time about when people are intelligent and they have something to offer, that when they're surrounded by people all the time, those people really don't care because, they've heard it 1,000 times and they take their message for granted. And that's why sometimes some of the most amazing people, come up and the people that are living around them or knew them are amazed, and then they want to be like their best friends, but they were never really there for them, because they took them for granted. They were always going to be there. He's little Johnny. He'll always be around.
Well, one-sided friendship, yeah.
Exactly. So let's talk about how to know when something's not good for you, right? So let's first start about gut reactions. Wow. A gut reaction. I think that our gut, some people call it a higher self. Some people call it a gut.
Instinct.
Instinct. Some people call it instinct. And so whatever you relate to, think about that exact reaction. It's like, it's normally an instantaneous feeling. So when someone's trying to sell you something, sell you into an idea, sell you into a concept, sell you into a product, sell you into a car, sell you into them, it's like, that's that gut reaction that's telling you, yes, this is a good feeling or no.
Yeah. The little internal radar that starts beeping.
Right.
You may not be able to place your finger on the exact reason why, but if your internal radar starts beeping, then you ought to listen to it.
Exactly. And I mean, it can beep for a good way and it can beep for a bad way. I mean, it can let you know, hey, this is something good. I mean, this is a good thing. Like whether it's a friendship, whether it's something you need, you have that kind of internal feeling of it's almost at peace. You're at peace and you feel good. You're not stressed out. When it's a gut feeling of the opposite, where it means that you need to take cover, it's normally pretty dramatic. But sometimes we don't hear it anymore. Sometimes we don't feel it anymore because we've turned it off. And I know a lot of people listening knows exactly what I'm talking about. When you turn off and you quit listening to your gut, it's like you can't feel it anymore. Like you don't know what to do. You're confused. Do I do it? Do I not do it? And you're almost stuck. Like you just kind of standing there because you really don't know what to do because you don't know what to trust.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's almost like a muscle, isn't it? You got to work it out.
That's a good analogy. I never thought about that. Because if you're not using it, it just gets quiet.
You don't use it, you lose it.
Right. It's like, okay, well, you're not doing anything anyway, and you're never listening to me anyway, so why do I even bother?
Right.
It's almost like a person. If a person's trying to help you with something, and they try to help you, and you're not listening to one word they have to say, eventually they stop coming around, and eventually they stop helping you.
Well, yeah, I had a friend that I stopped. I basically just kicked him to the curb a couple of years ago for that reason.
Because they don't listen.
Because, it's like, dude, you've got to leave her alone and move on with your life. He wouldn't listen, so I just like, okay, dude, it's your life,
And that happens sometimes, and some people can't see the forest through the trees.
Very true. When the situation is right in front of you, then, no pun intended, you don't have the perspective a lot of times to see, you know, the whole picture because it's right in front of you.
Well, also recently I've had experiences with a few people that I think have never been around good people. I think a lot of people can understand that. If you know a friend or you have a friend that's always been around the wrong people, it seems to always find
that's
that,
so sad.
You know people like that, yeah. Right? And they don't even know what good people are. So when good people come around them, they think that it's the opposite. They think something's weird with you, like you're up to something. You know what I mean? And so there are people out there that aren't really seeing clearly at all. And so you can't make judgments on that. And those are the people you need to kind of stay away from, because if they can't figure out right from wrong, they can't understand goodness from evil, that's a problem. And there are people out there that have been surrounded by negativity and evil so long, when goodness comes up to them, they think there's something wrong.
Yeah, it's like, you know, shields up, Mr. Sulu. You know, yeah. It's like, you know, kind of back off and, yeah, because you're just going to end up harming yourself.
It's true. And so if you've ever been in a situation like that, go on and tweet us at Ashley Burgess, because I know that I've been in it, Bill's been around it, and it really works out. So, I mean, you got to like sit there and realize that gut reaction is what we have. And if you're not using it, you know, I think the next thing that happens, so if you're not really paying attention to the gut, or if you're not really, I guess if you're not really sure what it means, because sometimes when you start paying attention to this kind of stuff, you don't know. It gives you mixed feelings, mixed signals maybe. You know, so for anybody out there that hasn't really been paying attention to their gut, I think the next thing that people have is a feeling of immediate confusion. So when somebody's trying to sell you a bill of goods, or somebody's trying to talk you into an idea, or somebody's trying to do something like that, when you start feeling confusion, that's when you know that you don't know all the facts. And in any situation, that could be anything. That could be about buying something. That could be somebody trying to sell you something. That could even be trying to figure out if your spouse is cheating on you. There's a lot of options here. But when you don't know all the facts, that's when you're confused. And I figure that out. When somebody's withholding information from you, that's also confusion. You know, when you're trying to make a decision and you are confused, normally that person's withholding information from you. Now, whether or not that's needed to make the decision is one thing, but usually it is.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and to me it's kind of the other side of the coin from, you know, the gut reaction. If your first reaction is being confused, that means you ought to look into it a little bit more. You know, let's not rush into anything.
Yeah, let's stand back and let's kind of stop and evaluate the situation. And I think this is funny, so I want to share a personal story real quick. So about a year and a half ago, I was working with somebody, and they were like, you know, I came up with this awesome idea, and they sent me this whole plan and everything. And I opened it up, and the first thing is that, you know, you should change your name.
What?
Yeah. You should change your name from Ashley Burgess, which is really easy. I mean, it's B-E-R-G-E-S. It's six letters. It's simple. They said, it looks like Ashley Burgese, Ashley Bargis, Ashley Burgese, or Ashley Burgeries. And they were like telling me this, and I'm thinking, what the heck are you? They said, you should change your name to Ashley Bridges. Ashley Bridges. You know, you could be the bridge. You're bridging people together.
So instead of Nash Bridges, it's Ashley Bridges.
Yeah, instead of Lloyd Bridges, it's Ashley Bridges, you know? And I was like, that's harder to say. Bridges is harder to say than Burgess. I mean, because it doesn't roll off your... Bridges, Burgess. Burgess yeah. Is so... Burgess. Even you call me Burgers, I'm going to answer to it, you know? So think about that. And I was sitting there confused, and I was thinking, I mean, maybe I do need to change my name. And I'm like, oh, yeah, so I'm just going to go on the radio and just change my name. I've written three books, but I'm just going to change my name. I mean, and so I called her up after a bunch of confusion and said, I mean, this would have been a great idea at 16. At 16 years of age. But you know what? I don't need to change my name. To me, that's not being authentic.
Yeah.
That is not authentic. Even if my name was 16 characters long, I mean, you could shorten it, but I don't think anything else besides keeping it, I think that's not authentic. I don't think that's the right thing to do. I mean, that's why I didn't even change my name when I got married, because I don't agree with that either, because you had this name your whole life. Why isn't it good anymore? You know, why isn't it good anymore? I mean, it's been your identifier for all these years. Why can't you be identified with that? And it seems like you're putting a lot of stuff in one basket on that deal, too. I mean, like, everybody I know that's changed their names had to change it back because they're not married anymore. They're divorced. So I think you're putting a lot of stock into something that, why can't you just keep your identity? I thought marriage is about two people coming together, two wholes, not two halves. And to me, that's clearly buying into something, like buying into the agreement of marriage, which is great, but changing your name, I don't think you need to. Again, I think that's a label that we concede to. So stay tuned. When we return, we're going to be talking more about how you can make sure and how you can actually reevaluate when something's not right for you. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes. I can lift you up. I
can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be.
Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
I got really good ideas.
I believe it. I know. I'm right. I listen to you. You have great ideas.
I just try to go to the flow, you
good.
Know?
Go with the flow.
Yeah.
Go with the flow.
No, I got to get out of the flow.
Well, then get out.
I'm in the flow. That's what got me here. Oh. I'm 26 years old. I got nothing to show.
You're young. You're so young. My papa,
yeah.
He didn't make Master Tinker until he was 490.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we've been discussing how to know when something's not right for you. You know, whether it's a lifestyle, a product, an image, a person in your life, an idea, or a life-changing decision. You know, a lot of times we don't always know exactly straight up what's right. And sometimes we have to have some sort of indication. And so how to know that something's not right? We talked about having that gut reaction, that instinct, that higher self reaction. A lot of times when somebody's, it can be good or bad. It could be a very good, overwhelmingly peaceful feeling in a situation when it's right. Just the opposite, just the polar opposite when it's wrong. You know, when there's something that, you know, you could get hurt from, or when there's something that's not good for you, you know, your gut will react in a certain way. And usually it's doing that to, you know, to preserve you, to save you. If you've been listening to your gut, it's perfect because it sounds off like, and it does it within a certain period of time, and it's just perfect timing. If you haven't been listening to it, then it's probably not that vocal. It's probably not that vocal. And so a lot of times, if you haven't been listening to your gut or you're confused, it is confusion. It can lead to confusion. You can have an immediate feeling of confusion. So when you're in a situation that's not good for you or that's not right for you, you could have this immediate sense of confusion. And a lot of times, confusion means that you don't know all the facts. You don't have all the evidence. And in that situation, you need to stop. Remember when they used to say, stop, look, and listen? You need to stop and evaluate the situation. Step back, you know, step back. Be like, okay, you know what? I don't know all the facts here, and I'm just confused. And when we make decisions in confusion, what happens? We make poor choices, you know?
Yep, because you don't have enough information. Or there's some little voice in the back of your head that's going, wait a minute, something about this isn't right.
Yeah, and that's sometimes what confusion's all about, is it's trying to explain to you something's not right. You don't know all the evidence. You don't have all the facts. You can't make a decision, or it's not a good decision to make. And sometimes there is no yes or no. Sometimes there's just walking away. You know, sometimes, you know, you don't have to sit there and put yes or no to it. Sometimes you can walk away. Sometimes you can say, hey, I got to wait this out. I got to take some time. I got to think about stuff. And you know what? Nobody's going to have a problem with that. I mean, the only person that's going to have a problem with that is you. I mean, you have to step up to the plate and make your own decisions. I think another one, and we were talking about this on break, is, you know, how to know when something's not right for you. When two or more family members or really trusted friends or trusted family members come to you and say, hey, we don't like that idea, or you need to kind of maybe reevaluate. And I'm not saying to automatically say, oh, okay, you said that, so I'm going to do that. You just need to stop and evaluate and see why they're saying this. I mean, Bill, you were talking about that relationship of yours from the past.
Oh, my gosh.
How many people came up to you and tried to tell you, warn you about it?
I think I stopped counting at 10 or something like that.
That's a lot of people.
I mean, my personality being what it is, the more people tried to tell me that she wasn't right for me, the more stubborn I got and more determined to make it work. And, you know, turns out, darn it, they were right. I hate it when other people are right. Don't you?
But you just like, and a lot of us do that, right? When people kept telling you, no, 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 you sit there and go, oh, it's us against the world, honey, right?
Yeah.
We can do this. This is going to be fine. Instead of the opposite, which is like, you know, 10 of the people that I trust tell me that this is a bad idea. Maybe I should heed it, you know, heed the warning. And so in that case, I mean, I think that when we do have people like that coming to us to evaluate it.
Well, and it's so weird because I look back on that and it's like, okay, I trust these people with my life. Why wouldn't I trust them now?
I know, right?
What was I thinking?
You were being brainwashed.
You know, it's like if they ever invent a time machine, I'm going to go back to that time and I'm just going to slap myself upside the head. It's like, dude, you know.
I go back and slap you upside the head too?
You can too, yes. I'll do one side and you do the other.
Perfect.
We'll do it together.
And you won't hold any grudge, right?
And I won't hold any grudge because I deserve it. Because
then I'll go back in the time machine and go ahead, and then, you know, you'll have to speed up.
Right, to catch you, yeah.
I'm going to get you, Ashley. Yeah, no, I mean, but we all have done that. Everybody listening tonight, myself included, I'm listening and talking. And Bill, we go through that situation where you make bonehead decisions. No matter what, no matter if if there's an army outside telling you they're a vampire, they're going to kill you, they're going to drink your blood. And you're like, no, come on in for tea. Come on in. Oh, here, let's have some wine. Come on in my house.
Right.
Oh, su casa, mi casa, su casa. Come on in. And people are like, no, they're going to kill you. I mean, it's not that extreme, right? But come on. It kind of is that sometimes because we don't want to listen to anybody. We know what's right, doggone it.
And I think you hit on the key concept there. Just because other, your trusted family and friends are warning you about it doesn't necessarily mean that you should do what they say.
Right.
Because, after all, they may not have all the information available.
Oh, that's true, too.
You may not have told them, all the information that you know, okay? But it should at least make you say, maybe I ought to reevaluate because, these are people I trust.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe I at least ought to think about it, because if they didn't love me, then why would they say anything?
You're right. Maybe I need to step back and look at it from their perspective.
No pun intended.
Yes, exactly. Because sometimes other people's perspectives show you a side or a situation that you don't know.
We're live on Facebook and Twitter.
Right,
Ashley,
now we are.
And I would love for our listeners to get on social media right now and give
tell us
examples.
About a situation.
Yeah,
right? Tell us about a situation that you recently had or that you did that you went against everybody and it came to bit you on the butt. I think that's a good thing. What about, let's go to the next one. This is the last one. This is the last concept. You have four. You have gut reaction, how to stop yourself, from something that's not right for you, whether it's your gut reaction, where it's that immediate feeling of confusion, whether it's the two or more trusted family members or friends that come to you and say, hey, Bill, we think this relationship's really bad. You step back and evaluate. Lastly, if it goes against your values, your morals, your principles, yourself, okay, that's a red flag.
Yes.
That is a red flag. And I think that sometimes in this world, not just in this country, definitely not in this country, in this world, people do things for various reasons, whether it's money or fame, that they would never do. Okay? And there are things that when you sit there and you have to sit there and say, what is good for me? What is right for me? If it goes against your innate values, what makes up you, you've got to stop and turn around.
I'm going to impress you, Ashley, because I'm not a movie watcher.
That. Everybody listening tonight knows that Bill's seen five movies in his whole life.
Well, here's one of the five. I'm going to impress you. Remember Wall Street back in the 80s? Charlie Sheen and Michael Douglas?
Yes.
Okay. So you remember how Charlie Sheen's character, he started off as, he was raised right, blue collar. And then he morphed into...
Gordon Gekko?
Yeah.
Was that him?
No. Gordon Gekko was Michael Douglas' character.
Oh, okay.
I forget what Charlie Sheen's character was called. But anyway, so under Gordon Gekko's tutelage, he morphed into this, immoral guy.
Right.
It went completely against all the principles that he ever was raised and never stood for. Now, at the end of the movie, he redeems himself, but suffers the consequences for it. Mm-hmm. So there you go. There's a movie reference. So, yeah, but money, just that, they say money's the root of all evil, right?
Well, yeah, money
not
and
sure
power.
It's the root of all evil, but...
Money, power, and fame.
Anyway, you're right. People will compromise their principles.
Think about all the naked pictures out there on social media right now.
Oh, my gosh.
For people trying to get followers and stuff. Does that go with your principles? To me, it's the same as going to a bar and dancing, topless.
Sure.
Is that your principles? Is that fine with you? If that's fine with you, then hey, I don't have a problem with it.
Right.
It's not about me in that situation. However, if you in that situation, you have women all the time that, talk about, when they used to dance or that kind of sort of thing and how awful and painful it was and how they would have to get pretty much drunk, to get up there
or
and do
high.
That. Or drugs and what have you. And to me, it's like when you have to start self-medicating yourself for a situation that you're doing, that's when it's sincerely wrong. And also, people will try to sell you on things that they're doing, even though it goes against you, because sometimes misery needs company. And also, some people don't see that it's a problem with their values. But you have to step up to the plate and say, hey, this is me. And I think that the biggest thing about, figuring out what's not right for you is knowing who you are. Right. If you know who you are, when somebody comes to you and tries to sell you something or get you into something that you don't need to get into, guess what? If you know who you are, you can walk away and say, hey, I really appreciate it. You can even walk away and laugh. You don't even have to walk away and laugh. You can walk away knowing with your head held high that you've done the right thing.
And you don't even have to justify yourself.
No, it's you. Hey, I made a decision. Thanks a lot, though. You know, have a great day. And I think that's what we're getting to, is whether it's your gut reaction, you know, that confusion, whether it's, you know, listening to family and friends, whether it's if it goes against your values and morals and your principles, is that know thyself. You know, when you know thyself, you know what you need. When you understand yourself without labels, without identity, personas, and all that stuff, you figure out who you are. And that's the key.
The ancient Chinese philosopher Sun Tzu said, know thyself and know thine enemy, and you will never lose a battle.
And that's so true. And don't confuse the two.
Right.
You know, and that's so true. So if we leave you with one thing tonight, learn about yourself, understand yourself, you know, be there as a friend to yourself and get to know yourself better, because we're all very intricate beings. We're all very interesting. And sometimes you got to pull the layers back on yourself and see some things. Sometimes they might be happy things. Sometimes they might not. But guess what? With all that, you actually be able to understand and forgive yourself. So stay tuned. We have a great show for you next week. And Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in 3 shakes.